God, we do mean that with all of our hearts. God, wherever we've come from this week, whatever happened this morning, I pray that as we open your word this morning, that that would be the song of our hearts. Lord, we do want to give you our lives and each part of our lives as we learn to follow you and help each other do that. Thanks so much for the Roloman family. We pray a blessing on them again. Father, for the Snyders, be a comfort to them. And for the remainder of our service and our kids' time downstairs, may your voice be clear to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. The last couple of weeks we've been looking at next steps, and we're heading into a new series today, but it's on the heels of that one. Last week we looked at some denominational distinctives. How is it that your individual life connects into the mission of this church? How does the mission of this church connect into our denomination and into the kingdom of God, and how we keep moving forward and what that means? And I had a number of people comment on the video and some really neat stuff about our background. So if you haven't seen that, it'll be posted on the EMCC site soon. They're doing an update to that, but some really neat stuff about our history, that some things that are still going on in our church today. So we love that. Listen, I've had an interesting summer. Anybody ever have an interesting summer? My summer has been interesting because I've been doing renovations. I'm not a skilled renovator, okay? So we've had some long-standing water problems in both of our bathrooms. Isn't that fun? Behind the walls and stuff. So we decided if we're gutting one, we might as well, you know, get rid of the other one too, because we got to rip the drywall down to check it all anyway. So that's been fun. So this is how I began. So that's our upstairs one after I cleared some flooring and stuff, and was that one's almost done except for trim and the main floor one. We're doing some flooring and stuff, so we're almost there. And we haven't had all our kids home in our house for a while, and Alyssa's been gone for a few years. And it's, maybe you just have one bathroom. This sounds terrible, but three girls, like a 20-year-old, a 17-year-old, and younger looking than she is wife, and two boys. It's a lot when you go from. So we're working away at that. And here's what I found out. I don't normally think about the wiring, and I don't normally think, is this 1.5-inch plumbing or 1.25-inch plumbing? I don't think whether the drywall's plumb, about ceiling, the bathtubs and the showers, and about flooring colors and whether the grout will stain and all. You don't think about that. You just like wander in your kitchen and grab a plate, right? You just sit down in your living room, turn the TV on, way you go. You just do whatever you're going to do in your house, because that's the way it's supposed to be, right? You're supposed to function with like your furniture and your stuff and just go about your life until something goes wrong. Now, when something's going wrong, you think about those things a lot, and you've got to fix them and get them moving so you're back to normal. There's a big difference, too, I found, maybe you found this, in cosmetic changes and like moving a wall. So I don't like painting. I don't like moving the furniture around. That's annoying. Just leave it. But I can do that. That's pretty easy. Sign me up. Because I've moved walls and done plumbing and stuff, and that's terrible in comparison, right? And you know what? Renovating and houses and all that stuff, they're actually a lot like our spiritual life. Our walk with Jesus, we have foundations, we have framework and all the guts of the house, and we also have the furniture and the everyday stuff we interact with. You see, we live in this consumeristic society where you've got all these choices, right? So when you think of your home, you've got unending choices. Just, you know, spend a day going from like, you know, Bed Bath & Beyond to IKEA to where, just going all these places and all the choices, what you could buy and what you can do and what would fit in your home. There's also lots of choices about what you can do with your time, how you spend your money, you know, what you watch, where you're going to go, what you're going to wear. Sometimes you have some choices in like schooling or work, and we just have all these choices out there. And I find that our walk with Jesus, our spiritual lives, are much the same. We in North America have like lots of books, right? We've got a Christian radio station. We've got music. There's podcasts, videos, tons of churches, lots of sermons, lots of stuff you can be learning. We've got multiple versions of the Bible. all sorts of devotionals, web resources, stuff that'll just pop up on your phone if you want. We have all this stuff you can take in, but it's really hard to take in. And if we think about your life this way, about a house. Okay, so your spiritual life is like a house. You can think about the Great Commission, the great mission of the church as the foundation. So that's Jesus sent us into all the world to baptize people, teach them, help them to follow him. We say it a little different here, same premise, different language, people helping people follow Jesus. That's the Great Commission. That's our mission. That's what we're trying to do. That's the foundation of everything we do. And on top of that, you've got kind of the framing of the house, the thing that puts it all together. It holds it all together. And then you've got the stuff, right? So if your frame and the guts are working right, you don't think about those things, right? You just interact with, you know, you go and flop on your bed, you turn on the TV, you walk through the door, hang your coat up. You're not thinking, as I walk through the door, I better skim coat this before I hang it up, right? You're just not thinking about those type of things. But that tends to be what we do. But here we have a problem. Do you know we have a problem? With all the options and choices that we have in the world of what to do, sometimes we get overwhelmed and confusing. We may latch on to this great mission, the Great Commission, where we're heading, what we're doing. I want to be part of this bigger thing. I want to help people, helping people follow Jesus. I want more people to follow Jesus, and I need to be involved in that and helping that. And then we go from there to just all this stuff. So what book do I read? What church do I go to? What song should I listen to? What do I do with my day? How do I spend a quiet time? What leaders am I going to align myself with? What doctrines and theology? What do I do next? How do I serve? All this stuff. And if we don't have a framework, it's a little like this. So we've got all those options, and you have some of those things. You've had some experiences, haven't you? You've read some things. You've learned some things. You've got some furniture in your spiritual life. And if you know anything about the foundation and you're ready to go on mission, but you lack a framework, it's kind of like this. You put all your stuff in a moving truck and you back up to the edge of the foundation. You dump it all in the bare cement basement of this home without framing, and there's all your stuff. Can you live like that? Sure you can. It's not comfortable. It's not good. But you can live like that. And I think a lot of Jesus followers do that. We don't have something to connect us to this great commission, this great mission, and the stuff of everyday life. And a couple of things happen if that's the case. One, we can get overwhelmed really easy. And a lot of people just kind of grind to a halt. We don't know where to do or what to go. Another thing is they hobby horse. You kind of get set in one little area and really, you know, when you talk to this person or that person, that's all they talk about. And you can get frustrated. So we need this foundation, we need a frame, we need furniture. So we have all of this, but what are we going to use as a frame? Today we start a series on something called the Way of Jesus. It's something that our denomination has morphed and changed over time. When I first came across this, I'll just be real with you, it drove me nuts. As a Gen Xer, I guess, because I don't want lists, and I don't want someone to tell me, you know, these seven things and this. And I was like, you're missing whole parts of the Bible, and what about this doctrine and this thing? But as I started to process with it and realize, oh, it's not like this all-encompassing list, and it's not actually meant to be, you know, a list of seven things I need to do. It's actually this beautiful frame to hang my spiritual life on. I started to incorporate it into my life. Now, here's the thing. What I'm talking about today for the first little bit of the message is a tool, and then we're going to actually look at some scripture that can help us actually follow Jesus better. But it's a tool. It's not the Bible. It's not the gospel. It's not something we go, you know, Country Hills is the way of Jesus and nothing else. We are about following Jesus, and if we can have a good tool to move us from the foundation to the furniture and organize our lives. And here's what it can do. When you've got a house and a framework, all your furniture takes some shape. There's some order to it. It's connected. It's sitting on the foundation so that it's immovable, and you have some purpose and some intentionality. That's what a frame does. It gives you intention. It gives you purpose. So you're not just, you know, in this basement with all this stuff, and you're kind of digging through for your clothes and going about stuff. No, you put your clothes in the closet, right? And you have a bedroom. You don't prepare your food in the bathroom. all right? And you don't go to the bathroom in the kitchen. You just don't do that. But the bathroom in the kitchen and the bedroom and the front room, they're all connected. They're all connected. They work together. You wouldn't want to move into a house that's framed up on a foundation and only has a bathroom, right? You can't do that. You have all these different things, and that's what the way of Jesus is. It's a framework to help you organize and be intentional about your walk with Jesus. Why? So that you actually do what you want to be doing. You actually do what God's calling you to do. Another way to think of it, it's on the screen here, is a pathway. Maybe you don't like the house illustration. You just want to think of it as a pathway. Well, it gives you a simple way to follow Jesus. It doesn't incorporate every doctrine. There's not verses involved in it and anything. It's just a simple tool. And what it can do is get you from foundation to furniture. And it's a two-way street. So we want to be on mission with Jesus, right? People helping people follow Jesus. And we got all this stuff to learn and do. The way I use the way of Jesus, the way I use it with the people I disciple, as I use it as a tool to sit and listen to God. And I say, God, in these different, you can think of each statement maybe as a room. Maybe that would help you. In each of these statements, what do you want me to focus on today? Or this season of my life? And he'll give that to me. And from there, I can go and explore and bring back. Let me give you an example. We're going to look at the first statement today. And the first statement is, I've begun following Jesus. I'm dependent on the Spirit of Jesus in my journey. That has all to do with, I'm beginning following Jesus, and I'm following him the same way I began. In the power and the enabling and the Holy Spirit. I'm dependent. I live life by faith. We come back to that. Let me ask you this. If you buy a new house, you move your stuff in, movers move it in, or your friends or whoever's got the furniture in there, you walk through the front door, do you ever use the front door again in the front hallway? Anybody ever only used it once? No one, right? You come back to it again and again. And you change things and you modify things. During certain seasons of the year, there's winter coats and snow pants and stuff. Different seasons of the year, there's things around the front. If it's, you know, shopping day, there's maybe bags and things that you incorporate things in. So too in my life and my walk with Jesus, God comes and brings me back to that. So if he's encouraging me to just listen to him in the sense of I'm begun following Jesus, what does that mean? Do I understand what it means to follow Jesus? So I might go out and take an alpha course or begin a discipling relationship. Or spend some time with some other people. And if you don't have something to frame your life on, if you just begin following Jesus and you have no path or direction, you might still take like an alpha course or something, but after that, what? And do you hang on to those teachings? Is it linked kind of in a chain to other things? So the reason I kind of like this house illustration is we grab these things kind of like furniture, and God says, look, put that in your front room. Don't forget about that. We'll come back to that time and time again. And it's going to create your spiritual life. And so we use them as that. It's just a tool. So today we're going to look at the first statement, but all of this is about following Jesus. How do we follow Jesus? In fact, more than just a frame, the way of Jesus is a little bit like a blueprint. We use the way of Jesus to say, hey, if you wonder what a follower of Jesus looks like, if someone's living out these seven statements, at least in a minimum format, I mean, there's lots of more stuff in the Bible you can be doing, but if you're at least doing these, which connect to all sorts of lessons, all sorts of experience, if you're at least doing these seven things, there's a good chance you're a healthy follower of Jesus. And so it's simple. I am simple. I don't like complex stuff. I get overwhelmed. So here's the deal. We have little cards here. They've got the way of Jesus on them. And you can have it if you want. I carry it in my wallet. I use it. It's not the Bible. Don't misunderstand my illustration, right? The foundation of our life is Jesus, right? It's what he's calling us to. This is just a simple little tool to help you do what you want to be doing anyway, to help you actually follow Jesus. And most people are not quite there. We're not intentional about our walk. So if you want one of these, it's really simple. You have to memorize it. Go on our website or emcc.ca. You'll find this. You can find it all over the place on our print stuff and on our website. Memorize the seven statements. Come to me, tell them, say them to me. Or post it to our Facebook, our Twitter, and just hashtag Way of Jesus. You do that, I'll give you a card, and you can start to use that in your life. You're like, well, I don't want a card anyway. Why would I memorize it? Because it's helpful. And I would present to you something that hasn't helped me. When I sit with someone I'm discipling, I have something simple to start them off with. And we come back to that again and again. What is God saying? What about this area of your life? What about this area of your life? I don't just have to pick things from out of the blue. So here's the way of Jesus. His life. I've begun following Jesus, and I'm dependent on the Spirit of Jesus in my journey. I'm a bit of an acrostic guy. Just flip back to that last slide there, Rhoda, and we'll look at all of them. I've memorized his life, his mission, his character, his love. I do like the LMC, LTDC. That's the way I do it. So I memorize these, but these are great statements. His mission, I'm being sent by Jesus to bless others and invite them to follow him. To his character, I'm learning to be like Jesus in my ABCs, attitudes, behaviors, and characters. His love, I'm learning to love God and learn to love others. I'm learning the teachings of Jesus, and that includes everything. That's not like we're red-letter Christians, we don't read anything other than the New Testament, only Jesus' words. Don't read into that. Everything in the Bible, I'm learning the teachings of Jesus, his disciples. I'm helping someone. People helping people. I'm helping someone to be a growing follower of Jesus, and someone's helping me. His community. I'm participating. I'm not just attending. I'm participating in a community of followers of Jesus on mission in the world, to the world. So we're going to look at the first one today. I've begun following Jesus and am dependent on the Spirit of Jesus. And we're going to focus on the second half. The thing I love about the way of Jesus is the Holy Spirit brings me back, uses these statements, and picks all sorts of scriptures. We could have listed, like, you know, our denomination could have listed like five scriptures under there, and then you'd just be stuck to that. But there's none. It's saying, look, go find this. Ask God to help you incorporate this. Decorate that room of your life. Make it livable. So we're going to focus on the second half this morning, but don't miss the gospel focus of the first half. Have you begun following Jesus? If you've never begun following Jesus, I want to encourage you to grab a Bible. We can give you that. I'd love to meet with you or talk with a friend who brought you. There's resources on our website. We can direct you towards stuff. There's so many good things to help you discover and explore Jesus so that you can make your own choice whether to follow him. And I think it's worth it. We want you to discover Jesus here. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament. If you're not familiar with him, he persecuted the church. He killed Christians. And God transformed his life. Have you ever been like that? You ever like been going in one way, kind of one pathway, and you know it's no good, and it's difficult, but maybe you think it's right? Well, God took this guy's life and transformed it and changed it for the better. And he spent a lot of time in this city called Ephesus. And when he wasn't in Ephesus, sometimes he would write letters. You ever heard of those? It's like a pen. It's paper. You write this like letter thing. And he would write letters to the churches that he had either helped start or just was connected with. And he wrote this letter, and it's in our New Testament. It's called Ephesians. And he teaches them all sorts of stuff. More than anything else, I think it's a book of basics. So when we talk about, I've begun following Jesus and depending on the Spirit of Jesus in my journey, I think that sums up a lot of Ephesians. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 5. We're going to look at Ephesians 5 today, towards the end of that letter. And he's already talked to them about lots of basics of the faith, how we begin following Jesus, what that means. It's not on our own. It's not from the stuff I do. It's not about being good enough. It's about God rescuing me. We sang that today. And then in Ephesians 5:15, he says this, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. Intention. Live intentionally for Jesus, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't we want to do that anyway? Yeah, we want to do that. Here's how. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't live foolishly or without purpose. That's why we're encouraging you to use the way of Jesus. It's not the gospel. It's not the Bible. It's not the be-all and end-all, but it's a great tool to help you live thoughtfully, live carefully, live intentionally for Jesus, so that you can make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. We want to be living intentionally so that we're grounded to the mission. We're living on mission with God. Paul gives a short list here of what we do to live carefully. Number one, be wise. Here it is. Be wise. Make the most of every opportunity. Be thoughtful. Understand what God wants you to do. Be full of worship. Listen to this. When you're together and when you're apart, like in your own heart, be full of worship. and give thanks all the time for what God has done for you through Jesus. We did that give thanks thing this morning. Do you know that at 9:20 in the morning, we meet for prayer just over here. Anyone who's volunteering often comes, but you're more than welcome to come. And we started this morning with some thanksgiving. It was awesome, and it just lifted my heart and my spirit and made the day so much better. And so we do these things so that we won't live foolishly or thoughtlessly. In fact, he sums it all up and says, you want to know how to live intentionally? Do you want to know how to make your life count? You want to know how to connect the foundation to the furniture? You want to know how to frame your life up? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there's an illustration here. And so he's giving this to us so we understand that. And he's saying, look, in the same way someone's drunk with wine, drunk with alcohol, and they're not really in control of themselves and they're acting differently than they normally would, so too we want you to be filled with the Spirit. And he gives this illustration of there's two different kinds of Christians here. There's one who is wise and follows Jesus faithfully and makes the most of every opportunity, and that person is filled with the Holy Spirit. But the other person is foolish and lives for themselves, and they're not connected with mission, and they're just kind of, woo, going about their way. What's the difference? Dependence. Dependence. Who are you depending on? Who or what are you controlled by? Who or what are you depending on? So I'm going to speak just, I'm going to give like a mini sermonette here. So I'm going to like move sideways for a minute, and so don't turn your brains off. This is important, and then we're going to move back. So I'm going to speak to something kind of controversial this morning. So now everyone's like, ooh, what could that be? This passage, I think, is grossly misunderstood, and I have a very different interpretation than some Christians. Now I'm going to tell you why I do. And I'm going to say that I don't understand fully this teaching and how they interpret it and practice it in other churches. There are some churches who teach that this passage speaks to something called being drunk in the Spirit. Maybe you've heard of it, maybe you've not. And that's where in a service or gathering, someone acts a little bit crazy under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So they will laugh uncontrollably, sometimes roll on the floor, all sorts of things like that. And so they appear kind of drunk, okay? And so they take the interpretation and saying that Paul is literally saying that when you are fully under the control of the Holy Spirit, that is how you will behave. Now, I don't understand it, and I'm not knocking all of it. I'm saying I don't think all of it is of God. But there's got to be some there, because these people who come under this influence, whether it's from them or whatever, I think their desire in their heart is pure. I'm not going to knock someone for that. I think people genuinely want to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, genuinely want to follow Jesus, and that's how they're living that out. I just have some problems with that practice and how it all works out. Here's why. First of all, there's no evidence of it in Scripture, okay? There are people in the Bible who do extraordinary things. There are people in the Bible through whom God does extraordinary things. There's people in the Bible who worship in extraordinary ways. David, when he was overcome by God and what God was doing, he chucked off his outer clothing and he danced in almost nothing in front of the ark. And he was criticized by his wife and said, look, you're so undignified. How could you do that? And he said, you know what? For God, man, I will be even more undignified. But he's making a choice there. We know that Paul was blinded in order to change his ways. God took control of his body in that way, and he was blinded. But the whole time he had choice of whether he would submit to God or not. And Philip, man, I don't get this one at all. Philip's talking with this Ethiopian, he's explaining Jesus to him, he baptizes him, and then he's like, poof, gone, he's taken somewhere else. God moves him somewhere else for his next mission. God does miraculous things. And when we're overcome by joy and by the presence of God, we're going to worship in some extraordinary ways. But I'm not convinced that stumbling around, laughing, rolling around, appearing drunk is what God really intends. When you look at 1 Corinthians in 12 and 13 and 14, the focus there is love. And any spiritual gifts, signs and wonders, things like healing and tongues and all those things, which we believe in, absolutely. But their purpose is for people who don't know Jesus to get curious, and for those who do, to be encouraged. And I don't see a whole lot of encouragement in that. That's the first reason. Secondly, it's self-focused. Do you catch the tone of the Ephesians passage? Like, do you understand what it's talking about? It's talking about our focus on others. It's about living wisely in the world. Like, the context isn't about me and my experience. It's about how I live before others so that they will want to follow Jesus too. And thirdly, this passage is a metaphor. The context, the way he writes it, it's hyperbole. If you know what hyperbole is, it's using an exaggeration to get a point across. I don't think Paul ever was giving a line-by-line exact comparison between, look, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to look drunk. So in the same way people get drunk, and Scripture again and again and again says, look, if you're going to consume alcohol, it's all good, but you don't get drunk. Because you can't be under the influence of something else and be under the influence of God. It talks about money in the same way. Look, if you're controlled by money and greed, look, you're not controlled by God. And so I don't think that that's what Paul is getting at here. And so I just say being filled with the Holy Spirit is dependence. It's not primarily about signs and wonders and all of those things, but God does those things. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is primarily about centering my life on Jesus, listening to him, and obeying what he says. Being filled with the Spirit means I'm focused on Jesus, I'm listening to what God's telling me, and I'm obeying what he's saying. So how do you do that? Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing. I know we use the word Spirit, and so Scripture's interchangeable between the terms the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, all the same person, third person of the Trinity. It's not a ghost or something like that. It's God's presence. And when someone decides to follow Jesus, you get a brand new spiritual nature. You're made new from the inside out. And the rest of your life is figuring out how to live in this newness. You're already new. How do I live this? And you have God's presence, the Holy Spirit. To kids, we say it like this: ask Jesus in your heart. You ever heard that? That's not in Scripture anywhere, but that's basically what that means. We get the Holy Spirit in us. And so God's very presence is in us so we can hear. And Jesus says, look, it's better that I go away because, look, I can walk beside you and I can answer questions and stuff, but when you have the Holy Spirit in you, when I ascend and third person of the Trinity comes and lives in you, that's way better because you can talk to God and listen to him right in your heart, in your thoughts. How do we do what Paul says in Galatians, keep in step with the Spirit? Same thing. In Ephesians, he's saying, look, don't get drunk on wine, be controlled by the Spirit. In Galatians, he says, keep in step with the Spirit. Same thing, filling in the Holy Spirit. Same thing. Different terms to different groups of people who need different language so that they'll understand it. How do you be filled with the Holy Spirit? How do you submit to the Lord's leading and be empowered to follow him? That's the whole rest of our lives. We'd have to live together for the next however many years and work that out. I can't tell you all of that in one sermon. What I can do is give you a place to start. And it's simple. Four words. Ready? Four words. Spend time with God. That's how you begin to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Spend time with God. Learning to listen and practice obeying. Let's talk about that a little bit. When you spend time with God in quiet space, take your Bible, maybe a journal, a song. I like to take some coffee or some tea. And just spend time with God. Maybe you've got, maybe you sing, maybe you've got a devotional book, another resource, whatever you take with you. That's your time to quiet down and learn to hear God's voice. We learn to listen. That's part of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Why do you do it in quiet? Why is it important to spend time with God? Because God's looking down and going, look, if you don't spend time with me, if you don't like have a consistent devotional life, we're not cool. Not at all. God's saying you need to learn to listen in the quiet spaces. Jesus got away to pray all the time. All the time. By himself, early in the morning. He did it frequently. Often his disciples are like, where's Jesus? Oh yeah, he's with his Father. You got to get time spent away on your own, because if you can learn to hear God's voice in all the many ways he speaks, right? It's through the Bible, it's through prayer, it's while you journal, it's while you read something, it's while you look out the window and watch something, God brings a memory to your mind, all these ways. If you can listen learn to hear God's voice and recognize it. Learn to listen in the quiet times. Guess what happens the rest of your day? You're going to be better prepared to listen then. Because in my day, I don't know if my day's like yours, but there's stuff going on, right? I'm not always like in the zone. I don't just roll up, you know, to a drive-through and I'm prepared for what's going to happen, the conversation, and, you know, deeply in prayer and asking the person to hold. I'm praying. I'll give you my order, right? I don't do that. That's not natural. That's not even what God calls us to. He wants you to learn. Some people call it practicing the presence of God. He wants you to learn to listen in the quiet times so that when it's busy, guess what you're doing? Still listening. It's a different kind of a listening. But we learn to listen in the quiet so we can know how to listen in the loud. Do you get that? We learn to listen in the quiet so we can know how to listen in the loud. That's depending on the Spirit of Jesus. And secondly, we practice obeying. What does God really want? He wants us to obey. Jesus told this parable, and he said there's these two sons, and the father said, go out and work in the field. And the first son said, oh yeah, I'm going to go. And the second son said, no, I'm not going to go. Now the first son who said, oh yeah, I'm going to go out, decided later in the day, I don't really want to do that. Hung back and he didn't do it. The son who, you know, fought his father and said, no, I'm not going to do that, went out and did it anyway. Any parents ringing a bell with both these scenarios? Yeah, a little bit. And what did Jesus say? Jesus says, look, it's that second one. No matter what he said, no matter how he fought, he still went and he obeyed. In the end of it all, God's interested in us actually following him, actually obeying. And so he wants us to practice that. When you spend quiet time alone with God, you practice obeying. How does that work? God's going to bring stuff up to your heart that you have to decide, either I'm going to go that direction or I'm not. Either I'm with God or I'm going my own way. And you have to make that choice in your heart when there's nobody else around. And that will start in motion some different acts of obedience later. God says, look, I want to get, you know, a hold of your finances. You might do some things. Look, you've got some bitterness in your heart. You got to do this. Look, he brings something up. He shows you something. You've got to decide whether you're going to obey in advance to actually doing something. Why is that important? Because throughout your day, you're not just going to be faced with that one thing, right? And I'm just going to tell you, my quiet times are about one thing. I can't handle more than one thing. I can't give God my whole life that morning and have a million things. He knows me. I'm simple. I use a simple tool, way of Jesus. I look at one thing, one scripture. God, give me one thing. I journal and write down, God, what do you want me to do today? How do I do this? How do I obey that? What does it mean? And so journaling for me in my quiet time has meant I've begun to obey more, and I've begun to learn to listen better in the quiet. I've only been doing it for about 2.5 years. I am not a good journaler. I hate sitting down and slowing down. But it's helped me to learn to listen and practice to obey because I have to decide beforehand I'm going to obey. And throughout my day and throughout your day, guess what you're going to have? Temptations. You're going to have choices. You're going to have stuff come your way that if your heart's not already predisposed, is that the word, predisposed? I think so. To obey God, to say yes to God, it's going to be way more difficult when there's all these influences and stuff going on. So in the quiet of your heart, you need to begin to depend on the Spirit of Jesus by spending time with him. Begin. Begin to depend on the Spirit of Jesus by spending time with him. Learn to listen. Look, this is not just for adults. It's for kids. It's for teens. They can usually hear God better than us, hands down. But we need to practice. We need to begin to depend on the Spirit of Jesus by spending time with him. What will that help you do? Well, it goes back to what Paul said. When you do that, you're going to learn to be wise and effective and thoughtful. You're going to be thankful. You're going to be full of worship. And you're going to better be able to take this huge foundational mission of your life, this big thing God's calling you to, and all these many choices, and sort them out so that you're intentionally taking one step at a time. Step after step after step. And you'll be following Jesus. You don't follow the way of Jesus. You just use this as a tool. You follow Jesus. But you got to begin somewhere. So I encourage you, if you're not spending regular time with God, start. If you don't know how to do that, ask. We will help you. Everybody can do it. God is accessible. He wants to speak more than you want to listen. He will come in and empower you to obey. That's the second part of depending on the Holy Spirit. Do you know it's not just that we listen to God and he sends us out to obey? We listen to God and he sends us out to obey with his Spirit where? Like out here, back in our quiet time? No, inside. He helps us do what we can't do on our own. You do this alone when it's quiet so that when you're with others and it's loud, you're doing the same thing. You do this alone when it's quiet so that you can do it when you're with others and it's loud. So are you depending on the Spirit of Jesus? I just want to leave you with that this morning. Are you depending on the Spirit of Jesus? Are you learning to listen to God, hear his voice? Are you learning to lean on his power and enabling to do in and through you what you can't, but he wants to partner with you to do? If you don't know how to hear and recognize God's voice, we do something here about that. That's an important part of our journey. In the spring, we offer something called the Hearing God Course. 6 weeks where we focus on that. And I've had person after person after person say, after that, man, it changed my walk. We sat with some college and career students a little while ago. Some guys, imagine that, college guys who are like, man, went to that and it changed a whole lot in my life. You got to learn to listen to God because we want to obey him. Are you regularly obeying what he's saying? If you're answering no to any of those questions, that's okay. I don't condemn you. I don't judge you. You're in the right place. So I encourage you today or tomorrow at the latest, spend some extra time with God. Carve it in intentionally to your day. Doesn't matter if it's morning or night, afternoon, you find the time, God will help you do that. Doesn't matter where you go, what you do, you just sit with God and make a plan. I use this. So if you want to use the way of Jesus, you can do that. I use all sorts of other tools. God takes me other stuff. Just a couple weeks ago, I was going through the Psalms right now. And so I was in the Psalm. And you ever read something that wasn't quite connecting? And God said, you need to read this other devotional right now. I haven't read that in a while. I don't want to read that. I don't want to get that. I don't want to bother. But I did, and it was exactly what I needed. Like to a T, God spoke into my heart what I needed for that day, and guess what my day would have held? Because my brain was spinning to go in a completely different direction. But God quieted me down, got me back on track on his mission, and got me keeping in step with him. Instead of running way over here to all this stuff that I thought was good. It was good stuff, just not his stuff. Begin to depend on the Spirit of Jesus by spending time with him. Would you stand as we're dismissed this morning? Father God, thanks so much that you sent your Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, and to empower us. That you haven't set up a religion. Jesus, you didn't come to die, to start a new religion, where we just try and do a whole bunch of stuff to be good enough to a God who's way out there. I thank you, God, that you sent your Son to die, rise again, ascend, and send his Spirit so that we can follow you, we can live for you. God, I desire for each and every person here that they would have an active and abundant and awesome relationship with you. I pray that whether it's with the way of Jesus or a devotional or a tool or just them in the Bible or learning to pray for extended periods of time, whatever it takes, God, I ask that you would put the thing in their life that would connect them to you to depend on your Spirit moment by moment by moment so that each person here can be effective and not foolish. Each person can be wise and not wasting time. Each person here can be full of worship and thanksgiving and transformed. And so that they can tell others the way Paul did. Here's how you be filled. Here's why my life is different. Give us a wonderful day. God, give safety to the junior highs as they head home today. May we have a great week in you, God. Give us opportunity to share our faith with others, grow us, and remind us, Holy Spirit, if we forget any of this morning, to spend time with you, wake us up or prompt us or put something in our heart that we would spend time with you, and may that time be just the most significant we've ever had. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thanks so much for being here. If you're able to stack some chairs, that'd be great. We've got some coffee on. You can visit for a bit, and we'll see you next week.